from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Stein. Matt Sterrell, the Guru Johnson. Pleased to be joined now by Mark Schlereth, NFL Fox, also works in Denver, and of course joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, also a host on the Stinkin' Truth podcast and Odyssey Original. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Stink.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Well, I was just listening to the Stinkin' Truth podcast this weekend, and of course, a lot of 49ers fans were as well. Your comments specifically about Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, kind of the direction of this offseason. And so I kind of wanted to start first with Ayuk and, you know, this idea of holding in as opposed to holding out, because Trent is holding out, Ayuk is holding in. This seems like a very recent development or strategy that players are using, and you as someone that's been in those locker rooms, I guess my first question would be, you know, how would you look at a teammate if they had one foot in, one foot out in regards to Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like if you're going to hold out. Like, but I get it. You know, you're trying to ultimately not get fined or whatever. You know, I don't know. I mean, you're there. Like you said, one foot in, one foot out. I just am more a believer if you're going to send a message, I mean, send a message, you know, drop a set and send a message. Don't show up. But I don't know that it really matters that much either way. You know, I mean, obviously he wants a new deal and he's asked for a trade. And I guess the one thing I don't want a bunch of negative energy at camp. I would just like when a guy comes in, he's ready to work. He's ready to be a part of the team. I don't want that negative energy. And I'm not saying that he is giving negative energy. It just feels, you know, it feels that would be a potential of a disgruntled employee, you know, sitting around and not actually participating, that it would be an opportunity to, you know, to create some negative energy and to put that around some of your young players. And I'm not a fan of that. You know, I'm not a fan of that type of atmosphere. I just know how hard it is to win championships. I know how close they've been in San Francisco. I know the kind of, you know, sacrifice and the kind of teammate you have to be to have those things happen for you. And that just feels like, it creates negative energy to me.
Mark, let me take you, you helped me out. Let me take you back to draft night when the Niners took Pearsall. I was shocked because I was like, man, the Niners got two of the most unique wide receivers in Debo and Ayuk, and now Ayuk wants to get paid like a Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle or Justin Jefferson, but I still haven't computed in my mind why they needed Pearsall. I'm not Kyle. Now they don't want to pay Ayuk. My question to you, Mark, is, what group do you have Ayuk in? Like, how good of a receiver is he in that group with the top tier receivers to you? How good is he?
Well, I would tell you this. You know, I've done enough 49er games over the last couple of years that when you talk to the opponent and their defensive coordinator, their priority isn't Ayuk. We got to figure out a way to shut down Ayuk. The philosophy is, hey, man, if Ayuk beats us, then so be it. The philosophy is we got to shut down the 49ers' unique running game. We got to shut down Christian McCaffrey. We got to shut down the dual threat of Deebo Samuel, not only running the ball, but catching the ball and his yards after catch. You know, we've got, and the next guy might be George Kittle. You know, so you're talking about, you know, when you look at how stacked they are and how good they are schematically and the players that they have, hey, listen, this is no offense to Brandon Ayuk. I know people get offended, you know, but he really is the third option. Maybe the fourth in that offense. And I know that he's got more catches than everybody else. I get that. But like there are coordinators that are trying to force the ball to him over, you know, over getting it to McCaffrey and everybody else. So again, where would I put him? Do I think he's in the same conversation as, you know, do I think if he lined up at the X receiver where they're rolling coverage to him and they're jamming him with the safety over the top and they're doing all the, you know, doing the, do I think he would line up with Justin Jefferson or AJ Brown or Devontae Adams or, you know, some of those top tier guys? And the answer for me is at this particular point in time, no. But until he gets into a system like that, I guess we'll never know. But, you know, I look at it like, do I think he's elite? Do I think he's one of those elite matchup guys that make you shake in your boots as a defensive coordinator? No, I don't.
Mark Schlereth joining us on the River Islands guest line. You can check out his Odyssey original podcast, The Stinkin' Truth, and discussing a bevy of subjects really over the weekend concerning the 49ers. And I imagine that one of the reasons why people are pocket watching, whether it's Ayuk or, you know, Trent Williams wanting guaranteed money, it's kind of there's this looming contract of Brock Purdy, which he is eligible for in March of 2025 next season. And look, Tua Tagovailoa just got 53 per year. You know, Trevor Lawrence is getting 55 per year. Jordan Love. All of those quarterbacks are a little less, at least on paper, less accomplished than Brock Purdy. I'm not asking you to necessarily rank them stink, but I'm curious, when you are looking ahead at what you are going to probably have to pay him, doesn't that also factor into Ayuk's place in the present? Because Brock Purdy at this point might be a $60 million quarterback next year.
Yeah, and that it's crazy when you start thinking about all the different guys they're going to have to pay and, you know, and who's on the books, who comes off the books, how you manage the books. One thing about the cap is that it's fungible. I mean, you can manipulate it any way you want to manipulate it. And, you know, you can always come back to guys and renegotiate, lower their cap value, you know, and create space and all that. But, yeah, Brock Purdy is a guy that, obviously, last year, right up into that Baltimore game, I mean, he was the leading candidate for MVP. He played that well throughout the entirety of the season. And I don't think that that's going to change. I think he is outstanding. And he plays with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And I personally love it. I love the way he approaches the game and the fact that, you know, that he was Mr. Irrelevant. And that dude's got some competitiveness to him. So, yeah, you're trying to manage that. You're trying to manage, you know, which direction you're going to go in and how much you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy and then developing younger players along the way also. So, yeah, there's a lot of juggling going on there with San Francisco. But, again, like, Brandon Ayuk is a fine player. He's a really good player, and he's incredibly productive. But, you know, again, when you're game planning the 49ers, he's maybe third on that list of guys you got to take away. So do you pay that guy? I would ask you guys, do you pay the guy who's the third option, you know, top receiver money? Part of this, but before you answer that, part of this is my belief that a receiver in a game where everybody's dependent on one another to produce, the most dependent position in football is receiver. So, I mean, I'm not one of those, oh, we're just one wide receiver away from winning a championship. I think the next time that happens will be the first time it happens. But I would just sit here and ask you guys, do you think he's worth top 10 money?
Wow, Mark, that's the million-dollar question. I'll say this. I think Brandon Ayuk is a top 12 receiver in the league. I do wonder what happened on the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, 6 targets, 3 catches. Was that because of the offense or what was around him? I don't know. But what bothers me, Mark, and why I keep bringing this up is I'm leaning towards no, because why would Kyle and John draft another receiver? They had, am I wrong to think maybe they thought about life without Ayuk?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're, I think they're making choices. And I think that's part of, you know, how the game is played in the salary cap era is you sit there and say, okay, like who of all our guys that, you know, handle the football and all our guys that are kind of quote unquote weapons, which guys can we not live without and which guys are we willing to move on from? And every time every team has to make those decisions. And I think we've all seen it over the course of the years where a number two receiver, a guy that's, you know, a secondary target, a guy that's like a really good player, you know, leaves and gets a chance to be number one. And then you're always like, well, what happened to that guy? Like, you got to understand kind of what you are too. And listen, man, he's been great. And where he started, you know, because he was in the doghouse with Kyle Shanahan early in his career on several different occasions. And what he's become the last couple of years is remarkable. Good for him. But again, I still don't look at him like I'm going to pay him to be a top 10 receiver. Mm. Part of that, understand that part of that is the way I feel about receivers. I think they're a little bit on the overrated side to me.
Mark Schlereth is joining us via the River Islands guest line here on 95.7 The Game. And Mark, well, in that case, let's go into the trenches, a place you're very familiar with, because the other part of this is Trent Williams, who is, he's not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He is both feet out. He is officially holding out, and it's because he doesn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal, despite, I think, 2 or 3 years left. First, you know, kind of what's your read on that situation, but also then as a teammate, for example, if I think that Trent Williams is far more of a priority, not just for me, but also for the 49ers, than getting Brandon Ayuk's deal done. He is more important to what they do. He protects arguably the most important position in sports, and he paves the way for Christian McCaffrey, which is who the offense runs through anyways. But as a teammate, if someone like Trent Williams and that contract costs you a potential Brandon Ayuk, you know, do you look at Trent as a guy that he's trying to get every penny, but it might cost you a teammate? Like, kind of how do you juggle that dynamic in the locker room when someone is trying to get paid?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, they always talk about and you know, in any locker room is you don't talk about anybody else's money, you know, it, like, you just keep that to yourself. But Trent Williams is, I mean, that dude's a legend. I saw him, I was doing the Washington game last year in Washington. I saw him in the lobby. I'd never really met Trent Williams before, and I totally fangirled on him. I completely left my producer and my director and ran over like a super fan. And the dude is legit one of the top players in the last, you know, in the last quarter century. The guy is, he just absolutely dispenses justice. And he is a guy that they will, like, guys on the team will stop and watch him practice. Like, stop what you're doing. Oh, Trent's doing one-on-ones and we're not doing anything. Let's stop and watch him. Like, he's that legendary a player. And so, and based upon the way they run the ball and all the different things they do, that's a guy that you have to, like, you have to sign. So, I think everybody has such respect for what he's done over a 14-year career and the fact that he doesn't look like he's slowed down at all, that if it costs you, you know, Ayuk, so be it. But that dude deserves every penny, and he deserves guaranteed money. And I don't have any qualms with the way he's going about his business.
Gotcha.
Mark, you got 3 Super Bowl rings with Kyle's pops, so you know what it is to win the big game. You do radio. We talk to fans all over, and fan is short for fanatic. We got a saying on the show, right on the table, that's basically elephant in the room, and I believe Kyle should have, and the Niners, 2 Super Bowl victories over the Chiefs. They don't, Mark. And my question to you is, is there a monkey on Kyle's back? Because I've called him a genius when it comes to offense. They've been to multiple championship games where they could have got back to the Super Bowl. He owns it, but Mark Schlereth, why hasn't Kyle won the big game, and how much pressure is on him?
Yeah, no, I think a ton of pressure is on Kyle, and they have had, you know, arguably the best roster in football the last couple of years, and haven't been able to come away with a victory, you know, and that's a shame because, you know, I've known Kyle since he was 14 years old or 12 years old, and, you know, I'm a big Kyle Shanahan fan. You know, there's some quarterback missteps that happened the first Super Bowl against Kansas City where, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo missed a couple throws late in that game that would have sealed the victory for them. And, you know, you end up turning the ball back over and giving Mahomes an opportunity to end. And then last year, inexplicable when you decide to take the ball and give Patrick Mahomes a situation where even if you, you know, pinned him inside the 5-yard line on kick cover, he's in 4-down territory. Mm. Like that was just to me, a coaching gaffe. And so those things you've got to hold them accountable for, no question about it. But, he's done that, you know, where everybody else is spending all this money on quarterbacks. He's done that with Jimmy Garoppolo and he's done it with Brock Purdy. And, you know, I think that year, the year before last, where they lost the NFC Championship to Philadelphia, when Purdy hurt his elbow, I think they'd have been at that one too. So, because I think they would have beat Philadelphia. So anyhow, it just is one of those unfortunate situations. But it's been a kind of a confluence of several different issues. Some of them coaching, you know, mistakes or gaps. You know, player execution. Yeah, I mean, I know one thing: if Chris Jones is on the line of scrimmage, and I'm playing, that dude is getting blocked. You know, we're not gonna bust the protection and, you know, go to somebody on the second level and bypass Chris Jones. Mm. And that's probably a touchdown, you know, so that's a player gap that Jimmy Garoppolo misses a through route to George Kittle that gets them inside the 15-yard line. And throws a little now route to, the outside receiver at the time on 3rd down and 5 and they stop him. Like those are things like that was a predetermined mistake by Jimmy Garoppolo, who didn't read out the progression the way it's supposed to be read out. So like things like that have happened to them in those critical moments. And, you know, and so there's plenty of blame to go around. But you know, Kyle has to own that, you know, he's got to have his players prepared and ready to go. And they can't make those gaffes in those critical moments.
Stink, we'll get you out of here on this. And again, Mark Schlereth is joining us on the River Islands guest line here on 95.7 The Game. I know that you've won all the big games that you've been in, but you've had 6 postseason chances. You know, you're familiar with the playoffs. What is the most difficult part of getting into training camp the next summer after the year where you didn't win at all, where you thought you had a team that was capable of doing it?
Yeah, just the, you know, the depth of the season, how long you play. You know, you play an extra 3 or 4 games, it beats you up a little bit, less time to recover. And then, you know, by the time you get back into the gym, sometimes it's I've got to go instead of I want to go. And so I think that happens to you to a degree. Distractions, you know, can you manage the distractions of, you know, celebrity and fame and opportunity and all those things? So there's a lot of little things. Guys want their money. Guys, you know, feel like I'm slighted. I need a new contract. I need this money. I need that. Like, so there's a lot of little things, you know, but when the season, you know, training camp opens, man, you got to set all that stuff aside when you walk in. That's why I'm just like, I would rather you not walk in and handle your business. Like, hey, sit out, handle your business, get your contract agreed to, and then come back, than to come hang around and not have your business done, not have your contract done, and be there but not participating. So, you know, the difference between the way Trent's handling, you know, his discrepancy or his, you know, wants, and the way Ayuk is handling his.
Yeah. Do you believe in a Super Bowl window, Mark? And if so, do you think the Niners are close to the end of theirs?
Well, you know, I mean, the Patriots were in a Super Bowl window for 20 years. So,
that's true.
I mean, it depends on, you know, how good your quarterback is and how good you are at retooling and revamping. And then, listen, when you get different players, and this is where Kyle is just awesome offensively, is when you have a different strength or different player strengths, how do you adjust what you're doing? And you don't change what you're doing, but you just adjust and manipulate what you're doing to benefit those players, to put those players in the best, you know, position to win. And, you know, I always talk about it, or like my career here in Denver with Mike Shanahan, toward the end of my career, it was just, I was brutal as far as a puller is concerned. My knees were bad, and that, you know, I didn't run well. And that was stuff that I just couldn't really do. I did do effectively. So, like, that was one of those situations where Mike Shanahan was just like, okay, we're going to run that. Because, like, I could run. I was really good run zone blocking and all that kind of stuff. So it was like, hey, man, let's not worry about X, Y, and Z. Let's just run A, B, and C. So if we want to run power or counter, we only ran it to the left. Right guard is the only guy who pulled on our offense. I didn't pull ever. So there are ways, depending upon the strengths of the players that you get, as you kind of revamp your football team, you've got to go, okay, what are my player strengths? Like, I think the biggest thing from a game planning standpoint is not attacking somebody's weakness. Like, everybody's got some weaknesses. It's not the biggest strength of an offense is not just your ability to attack somebody's weakness, but a bigger strength than that is to mitigate your own weaknesses. So to really be honest with yourself when it comes to what we are and what we aren't, and where we need to protect ourselves. And those things, I think, are, you know, that to me is coaching.
Gotcha, Mark. And again, you can get a lot more of this great breakdown on Odyssey Original Podcast, The Stinkin' Truth with Mark Schlereth. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.